providing Houston sports radio excellence for 14 years and counting. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Correa drives one deep center field. All the way back to Tavares. Forget about it. Three-run jack. Carlos Correa. The Astros out in front 3-0 on Correa's 23rd home run of the year. And there you go. Beautiful. Ball game over. Josh James, a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Plummer, the Astros taking 3 out of 4 in this series and some impressive wins along the way. They want to be down with the kids.
Live from Battleground Golf Course for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody. John and Lance. Tyler's out here producing. Aaron's back at the studio, and we are live at Battleground Golf Course, which is a little bit difficult to get to sometimes because the maps,
You can't use Apple Maps.
Yeah, Apple Maps.
Google Maps is fine. Waze is fine.
It's fine.
Apple Maps will take you
right into industrial park.
Industrial park, yeah. Here it is.
Yeah.
I
did the same thing you did.
What?
Except I didn't have the adventurous ride in you had.
Yeah, I almost got hit by a semi. trying to get across
four lanes
because it's
when your thing said you have to turn right.
It said turn
7
left,
miles.
And then it said turn right, and then
so you're in the left lane to turn right.
I was in the far left lane, and I had to exit.
When it says going to turn right,
and I'm like,
don't you think you ought to get
over
to the
right? This,
yeah.
And then this truck swerve, but I did get here. But no thanks to
you
Apple
almost
Maps.
Had a semi.
I almost had a semi hit me. That's a true story. I like had to swerve. My phone came off the cord.
Oh,
where I was doing. Yeah, it was.
That's good.
Even with Apple Maps, I missed 2 different exits.
So we are here for DeCru DeRue Mac Vibe Services, the big tournament that we've been telling you about for months now. It benefits the Ronald McDonald House, the American Heart Association, and the Shriners, yeah, the minor Shriners. So it is a great day here. We've done this before. This is our third or fourth year that we've done the show live.
At least 3
out here. At least yeah. 3 years. So we're at Battleground this year. Great course, a lot of fun, and it is going to be a great time had by all, thanks to Tiny and Brandon and all the people out here. We'll also talk to Lauren a little bit later and the Elmina Shriners too. We will talk to them. They'll be here shortly, as a matter of fact. We talk to them every year, and they bring us Bloody Marys. So that's how we're starting our day.
Now tell them
Bloody Marys. I don't know how you're starting yours.
Tell them to bring that breakfast taco, too, while they're at it.
Yeah, there is. I don't know what the hell happened to those. There you go. So we are live at Battleground Golf Course, and we are happy to have you here. We'll be here for 3 hours, and we will be talking a lot about what's going on. A lot of news, including Fromber. What? So... Why is Fromber shagging balls when he's going to start? First of all, don't be shagging balls. Secondly, Fromber, that's the same hand you injured that got hit by the pitch. Keep that hand in a cast or something. What the hell? He cut his hand on the outfield wall. I guess he was shagging fly balls. He just touched the wall and he cut his index finger. It wasn't deep. He maybe probably can start. Garcia came in an emergency situation.
Great
he started.
Job.
He did a great job.
Yeah. When you're not set to start and you just have to mentally, you can't even mentally.
Might
prepare,
even be better to just, do it that way.
Yeah, you're probably just let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
It might be better that way.
Yeah, he had a good. He had a good start.
Yeah.
It was an easy win for the Astros.
Well,
they were
playing
on
a minor league.
They
team.
Were on top of them 3-0 before you knew it, and then Yordan doubles, and it turns into a. 4-3, 5-3 at that point, and the Astros had every starter got a hit last night. They had 15 hits. Every starter other than Maldonado, which you're used to saying, every starter other than Maldonado who did get on base twice with walks. Five players: Jose Siri, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Yuli, and Kyle Tucker, all with multiple hits. Of course, Kyle Tucker got multiple hits, including a double. A rocket shot down the right field line, and Kyle Tucker was. We got an Elvis walking in now. Just want to let you know.
Excellent.
So including Kyle Tucker, who, you know, did nothing but help his OPS. His OPS went even higher. Now he's still fifth, I believe.
Elvis is playing golf today.
Yeah, yeah. No, we definitely have an Elvis in, yeah, in the building here.
Like, but I don't have to whisper it. I think he knows he looks like Elvis.
No. Dressed up. He's quite certain. So now the Astros, over their last five games, have scored double digits in three of the last five games.
Yeah.
I mean,
if
you're a slappy pitcher, though, they're going to put some runs on you.
It's the Rangers.
Yeah, it's the Rangers. But here's what they've scored in their last and it's actually, yeah, it's all against the Rangers. You played in their last five against the Rangers. Against the Rangers. Okay, well, I'll take that back. The Rangers had one of the 13s, but 2, 15, 1, 7, 12. So actually, the double digits, actually, one of them was actually the Rangers. So this. Let's just rewind on that last minute. I was looking at schedule, and it's got Astros, Rangers.
Just talk about Elvis.
Yeah.
Just talk about Elvis instead.
No, but the boys were raking the ball. Carlos Correa's home run that Aaron played coming in was an absolute rocket. When I was watching it real time, as soon as I saw the swing, it was so pretty. The sound, even on TV, was beautiful. I kept searching it back. I didn't even see where it ended up because I just wanted – and I wanted to see if I could see Carlos pimp it a little bit. Until he did pimp.
Yeah,
but Carlos, it was measured at 442. It was a drive to straight center, and he absolutely pulverized it.
Carlos's OPS this year is 853 right now.
It's really
his
good.
Career is 833.
Yep.
Coming into this season.
Uh-huh.
He's a little bit better. Now, he had really good times. He's had some bad times as well. This is probably, I don't know, is this what Carlos Correa, see, that's the difficult part about this whole thing. Is this what Carlos Correa is?
I think this is who
Carlos
he is.
Carlos,
yes.
Correa a team possible MVP? Kyle Tucker is climbing up.
This
on
is
that right
this
now.
Is this is who Carlos Correa is. I'll tell you why.
So,
he's healthy
this year.
This
is a contract year. This is a contract.
Well, I understand that, but Carlos Correa also right now is 26 years old. He's really, like, in his prime. He hasn't been hurt all year. All these other years, he's had long stretches where he didn't play baseball.
That's the problem.
And, well, one of them, so how many
even
of them
in
are,
the minor leagues,
how many of
that.
Them are bad luck and how many of them are where he is injury prone? Like, some of them where you slide and you hurt your leg or whatever it was when he, was it his upper body or lower body? I mean, some of those are just going to be, you know, like Will Fuller was injury prone. Some people,
if you get hit by a pitch, that's bad luck, and you break your hand like Jeff Bagwell
like that.
Yeah, that's bad luck. No, but if you slide and you get hurt, that you're now all of a sudden you're tending toward injury.
Okay, what we're dealing with right now is Carlos was healthy last year in a truncated season. Carlos is healthy all of this year.
Yes.
Carlos has performed at a high level. We have seen him perform at peak levels in the postseason. You just want to say in regular season. So this year he says, "Well, this is the regular season." I think more than likely, because we've seen Carlos get really confident and look great at the plate. And we know baseball's an up-and-down sport.
Yeah.
What's happened this year, John, is his valleys have not been as low. The peaks and valleys, the valleys are much higher right now, and his peaks are still the same old peaks.
What would you say to this? What would you say to this? 3 years, $120
million. God dang. I mean, you're talking $40 million a year, but 3 years. So
what?
Basically,
okay, if you're the team, would you do that? And if you're Carlos, would you do that?
If you're Carlos, it's probably not wise. I mean, it would be tempting to get back to the market again when you're 29, 30 years old.
Your value's down.
But, I mean, if you struggled during that time, you would have left over
$150
million.
Carlos ain't doing that.
No,
Carlos ain't doing that.
Now, if you told me, $200 over 5 years, I think Carlos does that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
I wouldn't do it if I were the Astros.
I wouldn't do the Astros.
You're now setting a standard for your top player, $40 million.
And the question is this. Is he your top player? Is he your top player? Yeah, sir, can you talk to me? Thank you.
We're on the air.
Thank you. right there.
I wouldn't set the standard of $40 million per year for a player. You know, sometimes when we do radio and we're talking on the radio and it's obvious we're doing radio. So you know what we have? We have headphones, and sometimes there gets to be confusion. I don't get it personally, but I would never set the standard of $40 million for one player because then Jordan's agent could say, hey, what about Yordan, $40 million? Yeah. Like, no, that was a special circumstance.
Well, and that's a problem because the question is Carlos your best player? Altuve's been an MVP. Kyle Tucker is unbelievable. Yordan is coming up on his contract. Bregman is going to come up too, by the way.
Carlos Correa is your most important player.
Is he really?
Yeah, because I think when you add everything together, Carlos this year has 23 home runs too. I mean, Carlos is hitting for good power. He may end up with 25 maybe, God willing. So he's hitting for power, but his defense is just phenomenal, and his leadership is a really big deal. And this is something that Kyle Tucker, as good as Kyle Tucker is, Carlos is really the heartbeat of that team from a leadership standpoint as well. They had I don't know if you heard this, but they had a piece yesterday in-game where he's talking about the way he defends, and he's talking about how if he reads a player's feet and he's sitting on sliders, then he knows he's going to be pulling the ball. And he talks about the way he adjusts in the infield defensively. I mean, I just don't think we should easily in this era, and it's really always been like this, where we put all the premium on hitting. Carlos's defense and his infield leadership for the Latin American pitchers like Fromber and what we saw in the postseason, I just think that's a big deal that you can't put a value on.
I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know that I could say that he's the Astros' most important player, but here's the deal. We saw Jose Lindor. We saw Francisco Lindor. We saw him get the $341 million last offseason. Yep. He had the identical OPS of Carlos Correa, OPS of Carlos Correa and in his career, and he's a brilliant shortstop. And that is Carlos Correa as well. Carlos Correa is going to command that. The problem with Carlos Correa is whether or not he can stay healthy. And in a contract year, he has been able to do it. Whether or not he's going to be able to do that over the long haul is a question
you've
got to ask.
You're wrong. That's not a problem for Carlos Correa. It's a problem for teams to figure out.
Yeah.
Because Carlos is going to get – my guess is Carlos gets close to $300 million. And I think he's resigned that it's not with the Astros. I think the Astros are resigned it's not with the Astros. I think you and I are the only ones still talking about it because it feels like it should be talked about. It feels like this shouldn't be over. But you know, to Carlos's credit, here's Chandler Jones with 5 sacks for the Arizona Cardinals. And what is he talking about midweek? He's talking about how he wants to be traded and he's disappointed and he's doing the make it rain after every sack because he's basically that's his way of communicating with Steve Keim that he's pissed off he's not making more money. You know what Carlos Correa's doing after his home run yesterday? He had the biggest smile on his face when he deked out.
He knows that's just a cash register. Every time he homers, it's a bell ringing. There's more dollars in his contract.
But I think the dollars are already coming. I think Carlos is really has decided I'm going to enjoy this last year with my teammates and my friends. I think it's really more about that. The cash register's already rung. The register has already gone off. His paycheck. There's already a check. There's already a blank check with a name written on it in the background. We don't know what the name is, what team name it is, and it's just a matter of filling it in. Carlos, I think, is just wants to make sure he enjoys, and everything he said, the comments he's had, it's been about, I want to really have fun with my teammates, and he's just enjoying the ride right now. I just don't think it should be over. Everything you've told me is that from people close to Carlos, he would be willing to do a deal, but it has to be something that's commensurate with what the market is, but maybe you don't have to do 10 years, but are you willing to do 8? Even 8 is a dangerous precedent.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they would.
No, I don't think they do.
Would you do 7 at $32 million? Or just say $220 million.
I'm not sure he'd do that.
And it's just
it's a total dollars.
And
it's just looking for.
And that's of course, and that's why you know because the total dollars are guaranteed.
Yep.
That's why the per year doesn't really matter with Tatis because what matters with him is he gave away 10% of his salary.
All right, what's supposed to happen is we're going to get some Bloody Marys coming up here, so that's kind of a big deal. I don't know, but if that doesn't happen, we got to talk about Deshaun and John Wall. There's news out.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the other side right here, but first, you got to talk about Texas Star Grill Shop.
Texas Star Grill Shop is fantastic. I went there. You know, so this is where I originally got my Traeger grill when they were first starting off. Got the Traeger grill, then got the Green Mountain grill. We were trying different things. Rick gave me a Memphis to try. The Memphis just blew me away. It's a high-end. That's an expensive grill, but there are a lot of people out there Coors saying, look, I know that it lasts. I've already had the Memphis for what is it, 6 years? It's incredibly durable, beautiful stainless steel. What I'm telling you, though, is it's the different types of grills they have. They've got experts in every one of their four locations who can help you with the grill that's right for you. You might want a Kamado Joe or the green, Big Green Egg. You may be looking for a gas grill, charcoal grill. Maybe you want the wood pellet grill from Pits and Spits, a local company who makes it. Traeger's got the brand new Timberline that is amazing. There's so many grills out there to choose from, and they'll help you choose the right one. But here's something that's great. All of your amenities that you're looking for, barbecue, wood, charcoal, marinades, rubs, whatever you're looking for, rib racks, pizza ovens, pizza stones, they've got them for you at TexasStarGrillShop.com. Our very own Aaron Rabel, the producer, used to work over there and assemble and deliver grills. And guess what? They're assembling and delivering them absolutely free. Four locations here in the Houston area. Make sure you get your one-stop shop going at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Battleground Golf Course. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're live at the Battleground for the Crew de Rue Golf Tournament. We do it every year, and we are happy to be here. Tiny and Brandon and Lauren and everybody here, thank you for having us out here. I don't know that we're going to get the Elmina Shriners out here. I never know what it is. It's Elmina Shriners, I believe, out here this segment. So we've got Greg Cosell, bottom of the hour. He's going to join us up until 8 o'clock, and then Mary Kay Cabot is going to join us at 8 o'clock. She is a longtime Cleveland beat writer, so we will talk to her about the Browns game at 8. So I think Bloody Mary is going to have to wait until well after, about an hour from now. So here's the deal, is it doesn't look like, a report is out, it doesn't look like Deshaun Watson's criminal investigation is going to be concluded before the November 2nd trade deadline. So that's going to make it awfully, awfully difficult for any team to trade for him before November 2nd.
Don't say.
No. Well, okay. So yesterday, yesterday Chris Mortensen was on with the Wheelhouse Boys, and he had this to say about Deshaun Watson's trade possibilities.
I'll say, listen, I'm like a lot of people. November 2nd is the trading deadline. I'm of the mind right now that Deshaun Watson is going to play football this year, but that's just me.
Did we lose that? But that's just what?
The whole power just flashed in the building.
Oh, wow. We had a power surge in the building? You've got a lot of power surge.
Are we on, though, right now?
Yeah, we are. But all my computers, everything in the studio is just, it died and came
back.
Well,
so there's a lot of construction going on.
Are you sure we're on the air, then?
I mean, all my meters say we are. Because you guys are on a different power grid than the computer.
It went to it just went to the generator. So we've got, just so you know, full disclosure, we've got a lot of construction going on at the, they're redoing our building, and somebody probably hit a line and they're like, uh-oh.
Nobody cares quite like we do, you know, since they can just, well, whatever.
So what Mort was saying was, that's his opinion that he'll play, that he'll play at some point this year. Look.
I don't see it.
I've heard now for the second NFL person, we've heard two former NFL people talk about that they would play Deshaun Watson. I heard Bart Scott say the same thing. I'm playing Deshaun Watson. He's getting paid. I'm playing Deshaun Watson. And if he doesn't play, there's grievances and he doesn't get paid. And those are guys who are looking at it as, you know, it's funny. We have fans and media members that are like, please pay him, but don't make him play. Let him play wherever he wants. Please. Do the right thing by Deshaun. And you know what former players are saying? No, because they look at it as, this is my teammate. What if I were on that team?
He's getting paid.
He's getting paid. It's time to play him. And the Texans, like most of the cities in Houston, have a tendency to pay guys without them having to play somebody.
They're setting a terrible precedent by not playing him. They really are.
Potentially, because well, around the league, that is one of the talks. Yeah. Like, you know, Houston, everyone's looking at Houston and how they handled it. Because the fear, I was talking to an agent who told me, A, the league is screwing this up by not stepping in and making a stronger statement. And I told him, I'm like, I don't know that the league needs more information. He said, no, you can, if you do this stuff, we were talking about hold ins and he believes there is a big problem. This is an agent saying this, a gap between Damori Smith and the players. You know, they want Damori Smith out of there. They don't think he's a good representative. Agents think he's a terrible representative. And then the league and the players. And there's issues. You know, the Deshaun Watson thing, he didn't get fined because he was a hold in, meaning he just showed up at camp and then did nothing.
Yeah.
Like a few players did.
Yeah, T.J. Watt did it.
And then right now the Texans aren't calling his bluff by trying to make him play. And to an extent you understand it. I mean, one argument could be, well, if he gets hurt, you know, what if he gets hurt? Then you lose his trade value. Okay, that's one thing. Deshaun is definitely a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. But, yeah, you're right. People around the league are looking at the Texans like, is this how you guys are handling this? Because if this is how you're handling it, then you're not setting precedent.
Apparently we are off the air, okay? So
well, we're on stream.
We're streaming right now?
The stream is on.
No, no, no. I don't know.
Twitch is on.
Tori just said, yes, y'all are good.
We're good.
If you're listening,
Ian says, "Oh, okay, now you're back." He said,
"Okay,
now we just came back."
Never mind.
Okay, now we just came back. Okay, so
Aaron, do we have every functionality in studio again?
Aaron,
are we fully
Aaron's
functional?
Busy.
Yeah, Aaron's going to figure this out.
Working on it.
Okay. So we'll get back, but
so
you know, to Mort's point, Mort.
So for those of you that are you couldn't hear us, we had a power surge at the building. Hopefully you all are hearing us again now. We apologize. Not our fault. We're getting a lot. We got a lot of construction going on at the building right now. So hopefully that won't happen again, and hopefully you're hearing us. Hopefully, well, if you are hearing us, if you're listening to my voice right now. So we appreciate you staying with us. So we were talking about Deshaun Watson. Mort thinks that Deshaun Watson will be traded. We don't think that's going to
be traded.
The case. We've been talking about Deshaun Watson you know, sitting as opposed – it's a bad precedent that the Texans are setting with Deshaun Watson sitting and not playing, paying him and not playing. They did – T.J. Watt did the same hold-in, and then they came to terms on his contract when the regular season hit. So hold-ins are going to be a thing now because, you know, it used to be I'm holding out, I'm not coming in, I'll take my fines, but now you can't do the fines anymore. And that's Damori Smith that did that with this CBA, this last CBA, he said, yeah, he basically eliminated holdouts, which is a good thing for the league, but we see the result of it.
Nah,
is Deshaun Watson
just created
sitting
a new
around.
Holdout.
Now, the Texans are keeping Deshaun Watson away from the rest of the team, so that is something that, you know what, Deshaun Watson, yeah, you want to come, you can come,
I'll bet
but you're not going to be.
Fine with it.
Pardon me?
I'll bet Deshaun's fine with it.
Yeah. No, I would imagine he is. We were talking about this yesterday, Josh and I, is how the Texans are handling it, and whether or not David Mulugeta would be happy about the way that it's going down. Allegedly, the Texans refused 3 first-rounders and 3 third-rounders for Deshaun Watson at draft time. Allegedly, that is the case. I don't know. I would highly doubt that information would have come from Nick Caserio, because Nick Caserio won't say anything.
Right.
But if they didn't take that, you think that David Mulugeta is pissed off at them? Because he's also got Charles Omenihue. And we were talking, and Charles Omenihue's got another year left on his deal after this. And Charles Omenihue is going to emerge as one of the best defensive players on this football team. You would certainly like the opportunity for him to be re-signed here. But if David Mulugeta is like, no, you got to get away from this organization because look at how they handled Deshaun Watson, then there's a possibility that you're not going to have Charles Omenihue after he's done after next year.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to see how all that plays. I mean, my number one focus, if I'm the Texans, is the Deshaun thing takes precedence.
Do you think Nick Caserio's handling it well?
Yeah, I think he is.
I think so, too.
I think he is. I don't think there's anything wrong with how he's handling it. Now,
they're not talking about him. They're not bad. They're just, you know what? It is what it is, guys, and we're just going to let this play out. Okay, so that's all.
There is a huge concern, though. And it's come to our attention through one of our ad reps reached out to a company called The Sleeping Bag, and I thought it was a camping thing, but this is what really concerns me on the Deshaun Watson front, is this may be a city of Houston-based issue, and while we may think Nick Caserio's handling this well, I don't even know if this is even in his hands. Here's a quick spot for a new advertiser on the show for a seminar that's coming up from a guy named Mitch from The Sleeping Bag. Listen to this, because this is a concern to me when I heard it yesterday.
Hey guys, Mitch Fox from The Sleeping Bag. Have you ever put on your winter coat for the first time all year, reached inside that right pocket and pulled out a $20 bill? Well, how would you like to reach inside that pocket and pull out $66 million while pitching just six innings? Justin Verlander did just that using our patented technology that helped him make all the money he could possibly spend without working. We also did the same thing for John Wall and for Deshaun Watson. And now is your opportunity to make more money than you could possibly spend without even having to work. All you have to do is attend my seminar, and we'll teach you how to do just that. Call 1-800-676-5200. That's 1-800-676-5200. If you're one of the first 10 people to sign up, we're going to throw in the Big Chunk Fat Suit, which makes you look 25 to 30 pounds heavier and can help you move out of the city in no time while still getting paid. The Sleeping Bag Seminar in Houston. 1-800-676-5200. And don't miss out on that Big Chunk Fat Suit.
I wouldn't. Now, this is a concern. Don't go to that seminar.
Now, see, I love this idea because
I don't want Correa.
Listen,
going that.
I've got to work 3 hours a day.
Yeah,
I'm trying to eliminate that and still get paid.
Yeah,
so I could play golf. I can play morning golf now, and I get paid.
I wish we wouldn't have taken a guy's money, because it's a concern for me that who's going to be the next star player. Is Yordan gonna, is there gonna be Zach Cunningham gonna be like, you know what, I'm just gonna stay out here and you guys keep paying
just
me.
Does have that kind of feel, like that cheating website that we
Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison.
I know. You that's know, a very much an it's, Ashley it's, Madison.
It kind of feels a little sleazy.
Hey guys, are you looking to cheat on your wife? Come on, Ashley Madison. And we're like, are we sure we should be running these commercials? And 610 was like, I think we're going to run these commercials. Like, ooh, this feels a little scummy.
Well, that felt a little scummy. We'll talk about it, but we got Greg Cosell joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we got Allstate Siding and Windows.
Allstate Siding and Windows, they are a family-based company that have been in business for 50 years. And the great thing about Allstate Siding and Windows is that they will walk you through the entire process of what a double-pane, double-strength window can do for you. One that's properly built, by the way. There are people who have those that are not built effectively. If you've got it and you notice one of your windows is a little fogged up, that means that you got a cheap window. Sorry to tell you. What Allstate does is their windows are going to eliminate all the dust and leakage and your air conditioner being leaking out of your house, because they are retrofit into the existing space. They've got 25% off your windows, or you can buy 10 and get 2 absolutely free. But the great thing is, Allstate Siding and Windows can also knock out the siding job for you at the same time. So we're talking about $2,000 off of a complete siding job. It is a great facelift on the outside of your home, but it also is really important for the overall performance of the energy efficiency in your home. And the new windows really make your house look great. Call Allstate Siding and Windows at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or go to AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. All right, I want to talk about Chastain Ford. I'm on the website right now, ChastainFord.com. I got to tell you, it's wonderful. You can customize your payments. You value your trade. You get pre-approved. Schedule a test drive. They will deliver it to you. You can do it all online. They've got all kinds of new inventory. You customize it to exactly what you want. And listen, I'm signed up for the F-150 Lightning, which is the electric F-150. They've also got the Lighting Pro for commercial and fleet business. They are the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston, and there's a reason for that. It's because they're wonderful. Businesses love doing business with Chastain Ford because they do business right. They will do that as well for you. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, get to ChastainFord.com or go to the dealership. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can order it. You can customize it. You can do it hands-on right there. The people are tremendous. They are the best. I love doing business with Chastain Ford, and you will too. Go to ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Battleground Golf Course. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you are not signed up for the 33rd team, you need to be. And Greg Cosell is part of that as well, and he is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. He is NFL Films senior producer, and he is with us every week right here for a half hour breaking it down what went down. Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you?
John, what's happening? How you doing?
Good. Greg, let's talk about your breakdown of the rookie quarterbacks. You got it on 33rd team. Can you give us a synopsis here?
I thought they all played well, to be honest with you. I think that Lawrence was clearly in the toughest situation. There's no way that any coach wants a first-year rookie quarterback to have to drop back more than 50 times in a game. They did come out aggressively, which was interesting, but then they got down 14-0, and he had to throw. It was just the way the game played out. And for the most part, I thought he played well. You know, we played against Lovie Smith, and Lovie plays a ton of cover two, which is what he did this week. Whether that was a function of the score or whether that's what Lovie's going to do every week, I guess we'll find out. But he predominantly played cover two. I thought that Lawrence did a pretty good job understanding it, made some really good throws against it. That second interception, I thought that he read the coverage. I believed he did not think the corner was going to sink that deep, because normally corners don't sink that deep in cover two. But that's what happened on that play. The third one was the only interception where it was a head-scratcher. But I thought Lawrence showed a lot of the traits we saw. There was one play in particular that really stood out to me. It's when he hit DJ Chark for 27 yards on 3rd and 17, where he had to climb the pocket, and I thought he showed really light feet doing that. And he reset himself and delivered on balance. And it was also versus cover two. And he drilled the ball to Chark in a void. I think it was on the backside void, away from the passing strength. So I thought Lawrence actually played pretty well. Wilson was in a similar situation. They got behind, not as much as the Jags did. And Wilson was under major duress. And he hung in there. And showed some traits. He made a throw in the second quarter against zone where I thought he showed great maturity in manipulating and moving the underneath defender so that he could hit the crosser behind it. Little things like that, nuances of the position. I thought he showed some of that. It's just the mental resilience and toughness that both guys showed throughout a game that was difficult to play for both of them.
I want to make a point here, and that's we can choose to live in one of two worlds. You can live in the reactionary, loud talking, hot take, judge everything on its surface.
I don't do that, Lance.
That's what I'm saying. You can live in that world. That's out there in abundance on ESPN, on Fox, in social media. Or you can live in the world that Greg lives in, and the one that I'd prefer to live in, where you try to be even keel, level headed. Analytical, and I think what's interesting in reading your piece on 33rd teams and just talking to you here, Greg, is that you're trying to look at Trevor Lawrence and not judge him now as a full-time NFL quarterback, but judge what you saw from him in terms of his projection of what he could be. And I think that's important too, because I didn't think he played great, but he had the flashes that you wanted to see, and that's one of the things you write is, you say, overall, Lawrence had an admirable performance and continued to sling the ball around in spite of being thrust into a treacherous situation. He showed tremendous toughness, and though he has plenty to clean up, it was clear he has the requisite skill to be a quality NFL starting quarterback. And I think that's the important part with Justin Fields, Trey Lance, all these young quarterbacks, and even guys like Joe Burrow, and even Tua, Mac Jones, all these guys, Justin Herbert. They are not what they are going to be at some point. And some guys won't pan out. But some guys are going to pan out. It will just take a little longer.
And we live in a world of immediacy where we have to make a final definitive judgment literally on every play. And you can't do that. I mean, these guys are making their first NFL start, okay? Say what you want. The NFL game is not the college game. It's different. It's better. It's faster. It's more detailed. It's more nuanced. This is a brand new experience for these guys. I don't care that they've been stars since they're 10 years old. That's irrelevant. And I don't care what level of college football they've played. Is that relevant to some degree? Yes, but it's not so relevant that it dictates what happens at the next and highest level in the NFL. So you have to, you just, all you can do is look at what you see. You can't make a judgment about what their entire future will be. And guys, you know this. We're not with these guys every day. So we don't know any of that stuff whatsoever. I sit here in my office at NFL Films grinding away watching tape. That's all I can react to. I don't know what happens on a day-to-day basis.
Greg Cosell with us here, NFL senior producer, NFL film senior producer, and he also writes on 33rd Team. So every time they go to, well, you threw him out there, okay? Trevor Lawrence goes out there, he starts game one. Zach Wilson starts game one, and then you look at the Bears; they're sitting Justin Fields. You look at what San Francisco's doing as well, and everybody goes, well, Patrick Mahomes, he sat. Aaron Rodgers sat. Tom Brady didn't start right away. Look, and that's the best way to go about it. Yet, look at the experience that Trevor Lawrence is getting in Zach Wilson. Where are you on that, Greg, and how the Bears are, let's say, are handling it? Because they don't have Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of their guy that
right.
They just drafted.
Well,
they got Andy Dalton.
I'll try to respond the way Lance just kind of set me up, in that I don't know exactly what's going on there. You know, we don't know the answer to that. We can look at Justin Fields and see the physical skill set, which is better than Andy Dalton's. It was better than Andy Dalton's when Andy Dalton came out of TCU. He's got a really good skill set. But we don't know what goes on every day and how the coaching staff feels about him, because it's not just the skill set. It's working through 60 to 80 plays every game. And again, I'm making no judgment whatsoever about Justin Fields, but they obviously feel that he's not ready to do that. Now, they could be wrong. They could be right. We don't know. We know that in San Francisco, they have a quarterback you can line up and get to a Super Bowl with, because that's been done. And Jimmy Garoppolo is a very efficient quarterback within the context of one of the most well-schemed offenses in the National Football League, the Kyle Shanahan offense. So does Lance give you an extra dimension because of his athleticism? Yes, he certainly does. But what we don't know is whether Lance can run with efficiency the offense as well as Jimmy Garoppolo. We know he's more physically gifted in terms of the traits that we think of as physical gifts.
That's Greg Cosell from NFL Films. We're going to come back with Greg Cosell here in just one moment. So stay right here in a couple minutes. We'll be back and get in a little deeper into some of the games that are going on this week. I want to tell you about Simple Seats. They're helping you get to Texans games, Astros games, Longhorns, Aggies, Cougars, Dynamo. This is a local company. It's a startup new company. And it's run by a guy who, and started by a guy who used to be with the Astros on the business side. And he found a way that could be improved with the ticket experience for the end user. And Simple Seats is the place to go for Houston sports fans to buy tickets at the lowest possible prices. They're not going to have that 20 to 30% convenience. How ironic is that? A convenience fee for you to pay at the end of your checkout whenever you go get your tickets. And a lot of times it's hard to get through the process, as it takes forever just to get tickets. Well, at Simple Seats, it is like a one click. You're there, you find your tickets, you check out, and there's no fees ever. So if you're looking to get to a sporting event here in the Houston area, you can do it through their zone seating, which helps you save even more money, where they pick the seats for you in certain zones, or you can pick your exact seats as well. SimpleSeats.com. Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
My guys are going to that game. Elmer and Doug, they're going this weekend. I'm telling you, I'm going to watch it. But I'm probably going to put a little something on it at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, because, oh, well, that's what I do. I'm looking at the lines right now. Our Texans are 13-point underdogs. Are you kidding me? Getting 13 points, one of the best teams in the NFL, an undefeated team? That's ridiculous. Well, I can bet it at mybookie because I deposited more money in my account, and I got it doubled. Because if you're a new user, if you're a current user, if you're a former user, you put in some money right now at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, and they will double that deposit up to $1,000. So if you're looking for a great way to play and win and get paid, you're looking for a great website that's easy to navigate, you're looking for all of the bets, it's ridiculous what you can bet on, everything at mybookie.ag, including casino, live betting, and racing. You got the sports book, of course. It's all at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Double your deposit right now up to $1,000 at mybookie.ag.
Live from Battleground Golf Course for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell, senior NFL films producer with us here on the show. John and Lance out here. Greg, let me ask you this. I'd never seen this before. The discipline index on the 33rd team, kind of interesting. Brian Friedland put this together, and I'd never seen it. It's a combination of penalties, penalty yards, and turnovers, and you come up with a number. And the best team last week was the Cincinnati Bengals. The Texans were among the best, top seven team. Seven of the eight teams that were best at fewest penalties and penalty yards along combined with fewest turnovers won their football games. Is there something to this? I'd never seen it before.
You know, I'm not a numbers guy like that, so I don't know exactly what that stuff means. I know I did watch Joe Burrow and their offense, and it has the look of a very efficient offense. Now, it's interesting watching Burrow. I loved him coming out, as most did. In fact, I've spoken to numerous offensive coaches in the league, and I don't know if Lance has as well, who believe that if Burrow came out this year, he would have been the number one pick over Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, I think that Burrow's arm looks stronger on film. He's never going to have a gun, but he throws the ball with a little more juice. They really have a lot of weapons on offense. They're a really intriguing team. They can line up in multiple formations. Both Jamar Chase and T. Higgins play the X receiver, so they have multiple locations with their receivers. Mixon is a really good back. I've always liked him since he came out of Oklahoma. If their O-line can, you know, come together a little bit as the season comes along, they could be a really good offense.
Yeah, and I believe that too. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things I saw from that game the other day is that somebody went man-to-man outside on Jamar Chase, and Chase went vertical and Joe hit him. And that's the one thing is I think you have to take that away from the Bengals, because that's the one thing that Burrow really shines at is throwing the deep ball accurately and isolating and recognizing one-on-one deep matchups. And that's something that Jamar Chase is really, really good at. So I think finding a way – and Joe is really making – he's doing a good job of making sure not to stay away from what he's not great at, which is making the field side, the long – out throws, because he doesn't have that kind of arm.
Yeah, although it is a little stronger. You know, it's funny you mentioned the touchdown to Chase. That came versus blitz. And Breshad Breeland was the corner, and he's been in the league a long time, and he had his eyes in the backfield. He was clearly playing the blitz, and therefore he expected the ball to come out quick. And they picked up the blitz, and the ball did not come out quick, and therefore Chase just ran right by him.
It's only 1 week, but Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay, it looks really good, doesn't it, Greg?
Yeah, well, we know what Matthew Stafford is. He's not a mystery. He's one of the most talented throwers in the league and always has been. He's probably been that way since he came out of high school in Texas and went to Georgia. They were talking about him being a number one pick in the draft when he came out of high school and went to Georgia. But I think one of the things we saw, and this is something that Sean McVay wants to do, is he wants to have the deeper play-action pass game off boot action. And he didn't really have that with Jared Goff. Goff has a good arm. Nothing wrong with Goff's arm. But Goff is not a big downfield thrower off movement. And Stafford is. And we saw that on his second drop back of the game when they went play action and Stafford booted to his left and literally threw it across the field. That ball probably traveled more than 60 yards in the air. And that's something Sean McVay wants in his offense. It's the reason they signed DeSean Jackson. It's the reason they drafted Tutu Atwell. Now, obviously, that one went to Van Jefferson, but that's what McVay wants in his offense besides all the other stuff that we all know about. He wants that vertical dimension off the play-action boot game.
How do you like that game, by the way? The Rams are headed across country to take on, well, relatively speaking, to take on the Colts. Well, the Colts look bad defensively. They got schemed up where their safeties got matched up on Lockett two different times, and he took advantage of that. Do you see how do you see the Rams matching up for the Colts? It looks like the Colts could be in trouble at home for the second game in a row.
Well, we'll see. One thing we know about Sean McVay is that there's a lot of reduced, condensed splits by receivers. So I'm very curious to see what Matt Eberflus and the Colts defense does. They play a lot of split safety. And one of those Lockett touchdowns came versus split safety. And it was actually cover two to that side of the field. So what happens with the reduced split, as you know, Lance, is the corner does not run with the vertical route if he's in cover two. So you had Lockett screaming at the safety, and any team in the league will take a wide receiver like that screaming at a safety. So I'm very curious to see what Matt Eberflus does this week against all the reduced, condensed splits that that are a staple, really, of Sean McVay's offense.
Greg Cosell with us, senior producer NFL Films right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week. Aaron Rodgers said, hey, if we're going to be gripping this much after week one, we got a problem. Greg, is there a fatal flaw with the Packers this year, or is everything fixable?
Well, there was obviously a fatal flaw with the Packers last year when they lost to the Bucks week 5, and then Rodgers went on to be the MVP. So I guess the fatal flaws tend with Rodgers to last, you know, just about a week. Look, you know, teams, there are always games where a team does something and then people think it's a blueprint. I think Aaron Rodgers has been doing this long enough where there's not a specific blueprint that shuts down Aaron Rodgers every week. Otherwise, every team would do it and he wouldn't be Aaron Rodgers. Now, the Saints had a specific approach last week. It turned out to be effective in that game. Look, I'm not a predictor and I'm not a fantasy player, but given Aaron Rodgers' history and his track record, my guess is against the Lions, who are now down a corner and then have to go deeper into their corner box, and their defense is probably a work in progress, if I'm being kind, my guess is that he'll come back and have a very good game this week.
How about Kyler Murray? He looked excellent.
Yeah.
It's Tennessee, but that's a Tennessee team that's going to have some issues, I think, in the secondary all year long. He's taken on a Minnesota team that I feel like the running game could get going. I know Derrick Henry didn't get going, but their dual capacity run-pass abilities I think will be on display against Arizona. I think that's an interesting matchup. But do you see Kyler Murray taking that great big step this year in his third year?
Well, 2 points about that game, one on offense, one on defense. I think that the Cards are a fascinating team because all you read now on social media, Lance, as you know, is that you can't play in this league offensively unless you use a lot of motion. The Cards use no motion. They're arguably the most static offense in the league. In their version of the air raid, Hopkins lines up on the left, Green lines up on the right, they have their slots. They don't move at all. So they play static, but they're pretty good at it. So you can win a lot of ways. The second point I'd make is I watch their defense this week, and the corner position will be the potential issue in any given game, but their front seven, they have everything you would want as a coach. They've got length, they've got speed. I mean, Isaiah Simmons looked like the player that a lot of people thought when he came out of Clemson, which he struggled with last year. He's lining up in multiple positions. You see the athleticism now coming to the fore. Zaven Collins, the rookie linebacker, 6'4", 260, predominantly played in the base, but he played fast. And so they've got a ton of length. They've got Jones, who's 6'5". They've got Watt, who's 6'5". This team has a ton of length and great athleticism in their front seven.
Hmm. Sounds like Greg Cosell likes that team this year. That's a
so
tough
far.
Division, man.
Based on week
that
one,
is going to be a war.
Super.
Yep. No, I said that coming into this season. Yeah.
Well,
this
I
think that's the best division in football.
Rams been to a Super Bowl. Seattle's been to a Super Bowl. Niners have been to a Super Bowl. Like, there's three teams right there that have Super Bowl appearances over the last
Seattle,
4 years.
In Seattle. Yeah,
pretty
Seattle
good. I mentioned, too. So, yeah, and then now you throw Arizona in the mix. So, looks a little tougher in the AFC South. Just, you know,
just
on
a little tougher.
Just appearances.
A little bit, a little bit. Hey, that's Greg Cosell. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and we really appreciate it. Mary Kay Cabot coming up next, talking Browns football with us as the Texans head to Cleveland. So, don't you go anywhere. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And now, Lance, let's talk a little Texas Custom Patios.
Texas Custom Patios is going to come out. Here's how it's going to go. You set up the consultation online at TexasCustomPatios.com. They will come out to your place, sit down with you, run you through the consultation. Steven was very – he told me exactly how it would go, and it's how it went. You get excited about it. You get excited about their work at TexasCustomPatios.com when you see the before and afters. Then you're going to take a month or two a lot of times to decide if that's what you want to do. They'll show you they have financing available so that you can get your dream patio if you really want to go all out with it. But the important thing is when you make that investment in your patio, that investment's going to pay off with your own happiness. Your house will become a home. You add resale value on your home. And most importantly, it's just, you know, you shouldn't just live to work. You should work to live. And living means getting that house the way you want it. And that patio is going to be your space with outdoor living areas, audio visual stuff. So you get the TVs and the sound systems. And then even kitchens. They can put awesome kitchens in your patio. And it's going to blow people away when they come over to visit. And you end up doing the you end up having friends and family members come over. So TexasCustomPatios.com. See what they did for my house at TCPLance.com. That's Texas Custom Patios.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.